Hi, everyone, and welcome to another day of More Than Milestones, where we are here together to help you boot your worry, be confident, and have a blast raising your happy baby. I am so excited today to be able to introduce Bonnie Compton. Bonnie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm so happy to be here. It's an honor.
Yes, no, we're going to have so much fun. So can we just jump right in, and I'm going to have you introduce yourself to the audience and kind of tell your background and how you got into this space of helping mamas and their babies.
Sure. So I'm a child and adolescent therapist and a parent coach, and I used to be a pediatric nurse practitioner. I guess I still am, but I'm not practicing as such. And really how I got into this work, it started many years ago, actually from my own childhood. Mm-hmm. And the joy and pain of my childhood and the dysfunction. And then, after many years of being a nurse practitioner, families were drawn to me because of the emotional and behavioral piece, and I was drawn to them. And so I was also a play therapist, and I saw kids a lot in my practice. And then what I began to realize after hearing many kids say, if I were a better kid, if I behaved, my family would be happy. Mm. And parents saying, please fix their behavior, fix my child. And I'd say they're not broken. So I decided 2 years ago to shift the focus of my practice to parenting. And although I do see some kids, I often don't need to. After four short sessions, there's a lot of joy in the family again. Kids are choosing appropriate behavior for themselves. They're not perfect little kids. We're not trying to create robots. That sort of thing. And I'm inspiring and empowering parents to be the parent they want to be. I haven't met any parent who doesn't want to be a good parent. They just get lost along the way. It's not easy, right?
It's so easy to get lost, especially nowadays when I almost feel like you're not allowed to be wrong in what you're doing because all the answers are out there. It's just a matter of finding them.
Right. And there's so much pressure on parents now, and you all have very busy lives. I tell parents, my best credentials are, I believe, I'm a mom of four adult kids and a grandmother of three now. So I've been on both sides, you know, I really have. And I think we complicate parenting. I think we make it, it's an important job. I believe it's the most important job you'll ever have. And I love being a mom, but I believe we make it even harder than it needs to be. And there's just so much pressure on it to get it right, to be perfect. And so that's actually why I wrote my book, Mothering with Courage, that came out this year, because I believe moms have the answers within. And when they learn to trust their intuition, they will find their own answers. So why did we need another parenting book? There's over 100,000 on the market. And I thought I wanted mine to be different, and it is. So it not only has content in there, and important content from my many years of practice, but they're journaling prompts so that moms will find their own answers.
Oh, I love that. And I love, too, how your shift from working with the kids to working with the parents and being able to, within four sessions, just change families' lives around. So what kind of work do you have those parents do in those sessions?
You know, I really, one of the things I do is I have parents talk about how they were parented and what their childhood was like. And I ask parents, if you were to come up with one word that captures the essence of your childhood, I wonder what that one word would be. And for some, it's love, connection, joy, and for others, it's not. And for myself and my own childhood, my word is uncertain. I was never certain what was going to happen. My dad was an alcoholic and my mom had borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And they loved us the best they could. And we did have love in our family, but my childhood was very uncertain. Never quite sure what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And so when parents think about their one word, I ask them, if your child as an adult is asked the same question, what word would you want them to say? And that really helps give a path, a vision, kind of like a guide post for them to and when they're creating the childhood, which they are for their child. And of course, we know this, babies have different temperaments. They're not clean slates, right?
Right.
Temperaments, personalities, but how can you honor them for who they are, their unique being? And work with them rather than against them.
I love that so much because I think so much of what we do too is have a vision for how we want our children to be when they're older, you know,
yes.
And so we make choices based on, well, how are they going to get to this thing later on down the road? But that kind of forgets about what's happening right now, and that
right
adults
right. And it also, we don't take into consideration sometimes about who they really are, their true essence. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters in my books is hopes, wishes, and dreams. And you know, when you're waiting to have that baby, what are you hoping? How do you think it's going to be? You'll be as a mom, as a dad, how do you envision them? And sometimes we grasp and we cling and have, and then those become expectations, yeah. Right? Yeah. And when we just hold tight to those, that's when we don't truly allow our child to grow into who they were meant to be. Mm. So it's wonderful to have hopes and dreams, just don't hold so tight, right?
I love that. No, surrender, right? You just let them be and accept that. No, I love that. And I know that we talked a little bit about how to help parents connect with their babies in this kind of way, even before they're born.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Because they pick up on your energy.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you help parents kind of do that?
Before they're born?
Yeah.
Oh, I just, I always say, be mindful of your words, because they can hear. Mm-hmm. The energy that you have around, you know, the time waiting, certainly talking to them, playing music. I remember with our, in particular, our third and fourth children, I would sing to them. Mm-hmm. As a newborn, of course, but what I didn't think about, because years ago, we didn't know how much they heard, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I would sing You Are My Sunshine when I put my babies to bed, my toddlers, little ones. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, you know, that fussy period in the evening with newborns. With the third and fourth ones, I would sing to them You Are My Sunshine, and it would calm them down. And I remember thinking, what is it about this song? And I thought, that's what they heard every night when I was putting their siblings to bed.
Yep.
So yeah, just... The other piece, while you're waiting for your baby to come and afterwards, is self-care. Oh, self-care is so important. And if I could change a mama's mindset that self-care is selfish, it is not. It is selfless. And I tell moms, you can't give what you yourself have not been willing to receive.
Yeah.
You can't. And
I was talking to a mama this morning about, you know, her feeling guilty about dropping off her one-year-old at daycare so she could go work out. I'm like, no.
I know. It's you know, that's one of the first homework assignments I give moms when they come in and they're frustrated with their kids' behavior and they're not talking about themselves at all, right? They're talking about what's going wrong in their family, in their life, with their relationships, their children. And the question that I ask them is, who's taking care of you? Mm-hmm. And that question often elicits tears.
I was going to say that, crying.
I was going to say that question is chapter 11 of my book. I decided that's the title, Who's Taking Care of You?
Yeah.
Because I've worked with so many moms who are putting themselves on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And then become frustrated, overwhelmed, resentful, angry, and the focus is on what everybody else is doing wrong, right?
Yes.
And, you know, what moms often say is, I don't have the time, I can't find the time. And my answer is, you don't find the time. You create it, you carve it out, right? You schedule it. And once mom, sometimes it takes some longer than others, I say, start with 5 minutes. Start with 2 minutes if that's all you have. Go outside, look up at the sky, take some deep breaths. That's self-care. Whatever it is, listen to a song, dance. That's self-care, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I got into the habit. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it doesn't take long. Moms are coming back the next session smiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's Go ahead. Great. What were you going to say?
No, what I was going to say is I've gotten into the habit now of every hour just kind of doing a self-check. Like, what do I need? Like, how am I feeling right now?
I love that. I love that. I don't know if you've ever read anything by Renee Trudeau Peterson.
No, I don't think I have.
She's wonderful. And she does retreats, women's retreats. And she talks about, and I don't think she coined this phrase, but incremental self-care. So that's what you're doing, incremental, just checking in and seeing what you need.
Even if it's just as simple as like, you know what, I've had to go to the bathroom for a while.
Exactly. That's self, that is self-care, right? Absolutely.
So crazy, or I'm thirsty or whatever it is.
Like, I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so yeah.
Not anything crazy. You don't have to go for a, you know, a 2-hour hike.
No, not at all.
If you can get there, but.
Right. And self-care can include your family, right? You can, and I know you sent me a picture hiking with your son.
Yes.
That's self-care also because you're enjoying it and you're spending time with him. So,
so much fun. Yeah, that's one of the things that we do, you know, weekly here is we carve out 2 hours out in nature and he gets to choose where we go. And it's really up to him. He's in charge. And then based on what he wants, I have a meetup group and I put it out there. I'm like, we're going to be here. We'd love to see you if you want to join us. And sometimes people come and sometimes they don't.
Yes.
And either way, it's great because we have this 2-hour block together where it's his agenda and I get to follow him. I don't have to have any expectations of how far or how fast or even if we go anywhere. I mean, even if we're digging in the dirt and trying to catch
them.
It's great.
Absolutely. You know, I that's one of the, another, I have two homework assignments that I give. That's the second one is special time with kids and letting them direct, you know, and choose the activity. And, you know, I tell parents if they want to play a board game and you think they're cheating, you know, just say, I see you love to change the rules. You love to win, don't you? And be playful about it.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
And I don't know if you have noticed this, Wendy, but a lot of parents that I work with come back and say, you know what? It really helps me see my child in a different light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because you're just open to them versus you placing the expectations and seeing whether or not they meet them.
Right. Absolutely. And they're not their behavior, right?
Right.
And so I really call special time a soft time and the soft times help you get through the hard times.
Yeah.
Because you can tap back into those and say, this is not who they are. They're frustrated right now. They're angry. They're refusing to listen to me, but this is not who they truly are. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Those, all those behaviors and all those feelings, they come and go and they come and go for us too. And I think sometimes we get caught up in placing more meaning on every little thing.
Yes. Or taking their behavior personally.
Yeah.
Which I was guilty. I'll say as a mom, I was guilty at times of doing that. Absolutely. But you know, if you think about the word emotions, emotions, and we are energetic beings, right?
Yes.
And so we're energy in motion and kids have big emotions,
right?
Yeah.
And they're learning how to regulate them. We're still learning how to regulate them, but we are their models too.
Exactly. And you know, there are a lot of adults out in the world now that are not regulating their emotions. It's become a very reactive world and you know, kids are watching
and we are
right.
They are.
We are their role models. All of us as adults. Yeah. And parents are their first role model.
Yeah. So, I love it. No, we had a moment this morning with my oldest. Well, first of all, we found a letter that she had written on her computer and printed out on the printer. And I think it was there for a couple of weeks before we found it. But, you know, it started off as like, I don't like the way you're treating me. And it's like, whoa, okay.
Oh, it's a letter to you?
A letter to me and my husband. It's like, I don't like the way you're treating me. And this is why, and my husband read it. He's like, did you see this? You know, and was kind of like upset about it. And I was like, this is awesome. And he's like, what are you talking about? This is awesome. I was like, she's communicating with us what she needs. And clearly she didn't feel comfortable enough to do it face to face or know how to put the words together, but she thought about it. She took the time to take her computer out and write it.
Like,
this is awesome.
You're a good mama for saying that. You know, it is awesome. It is. And when you can pause and not take it personally, not become defensive and say, okay, this is an opening to communication.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good for her and good for you. For
it's one of those critical junctures. She's in sixth grade. She's 11 years old. Every person in her class has a phone and we've pulled out.
I was going to say,
it was all about the phone.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to be having lots of talks about it. You know, we've started to have her write up a contract for if we get you a phone or when we get you a phone, these are the rules that have to be followed. But,
right.
You know, but this was just, you know, and I love how she ended the letter because she's like, can you please for 2 seconds put yourself in my shoes? I mean, she actually
said, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm like, talk. And this is my child who I was worried about whether or not she understood what empathy was. And I was like, oh, yes.
She gets it. She gets it. That's right. That's right. I don't know the if you have ever seen this or have done this before, but there are mom-daughter journals out there now.
I haven't seen the ones that are printed. We did a back and forth for a while until she kind of stopped doing it. But okay. Yeah, we might look into doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just could be that when she's not comfortable talking, you know, or yeah. So I actually was in a bookstore and I've seen they actually have mom-daughter journals, you know, printed with prompts and things like that. So yeah. That's the thing with connecting with kids. You want to keep that connection going. And it's one of the ways is communication, right?
Yeah. I know, a big one.
And to know it's okay. It's safe. And yeah. So not always easy. I heard a psychologist speak years ago and he said for parents, I was at a workshop for parents of teens here, you've just been fired as their manager and you better work really hard to be rehired as their consultant. And I thought, so true.
I love that. I love that. You know? No, I know it's definitely changes. These transitions are big. And the thing is that you kind of think about the different stages of you know, you have baby, you have toddler, preschooler, right, elementary, you know, and beyond.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if I just get through this phase, like, you know, but then there's always just something else that comes.
Well, there is. And, you know, and I tell parents of teens, I said, do you remember the toddler stage? You know, we used to call the terrible twos. Oh yeah, I remember. I said, well, that's what you're seeing again. You're just seeing a bigger version of it.
Yeah.
But the developmental stage, what they're doing is becoming independent, becoming more themselves, right? So a toddler will be, no, I do, me. They'll want you to go away, but don't go too far away. And then they get very upset, right?
Right.
It's too scary if you leave them. A teen is doing the same thing, exerting their independence. Mm-hmm. And they still need to know that you're going to keep them safe, right?
Yes.
You're going to keep them contained somewhat, some boundaries, right?
Yeah.
You know, parents, when I work with them, say, my child is fine, my teen is fine until I say no. They just don't want to hear the word no. Mm-hmm. And I said, they're testing you, right? And kids do that.
Yep.
And of course they want you to say yes, but they don't want you to say yes all the time. That's too scary because they want to know they can trust you to be the parent they need you to be. And that's the parent that says no sometimes.
Yeah.
The parent that's not going to be their best friend, right? They don't need a best friend.
No, they have besties. They have plenty of besties. They don't want us to be their besties.
That's right. Well, a lot of parents feel that I don't want them to be mad at me. I want them to like me. I want them to be my friend. They're, you know, for me to be their friend. I said, they have plenty of friends, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's okay to say no sometimes.
Yeah. And I just kind of feel like, I mean, that's just the bottom or the golden thread that just kind of weaves its way through from pregnancy, birth, all the stages, is just that connection with them, allowing them to be, but also setting those boundaries.
Right. And the connection, you know, when they're infants, mm-hmm. you connect with them, obviously touch, mm-hmm. singing, you know, rocking them, reading to them, that sort of thing. You continue that connection in different ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, the big piece of connection is the gift of connection is I see you, I hear you, I acknowledge you. Mm-hmm. And so for parents, you know, I say to them, you can connect with them on many different levels. Mm-hmm. But if you connect with them just by saying, I love watching you dance. Mm-hmm. I love watching you color. Instead of good job.
You're right.
You know, or, wow, you stayed in the lines in coloring, you know, is to just you acknowledge them just for being who they are, however they're showing up.
Yes. And what I love there, too, is that, you know, we've kind of learned not to always praise the outcome, but the process. But you're taking it a deeper level. It's not just the process, it's the emotion.
Right, right. And because it's a human need, right? We all want to be acknowledged. We all want to be seen and heard. Every single one of us. And what we sometimes we don't realize when we're talking to our kids, we're concentrating on not only did you take a bath, did you do your homework, did you do, I had a dad a while ago and I was working with this dad and 12-year-old daughter and she was a straight A student and an only child and their focus was on her and everything she was doing, right? And she missed an assignment because they had been out of town. And dad kept following the grades online, which parents can do now. And so he thought she was getting straight A's. Well, he picked her up and he said, well, how'd you do on your report card? And she said, well, I got an A in science and A in math. And she went through all the A's and I got a B in English. Because what happened? And of course, in his mind, what happened? When I checked 2 days ago, you had an A. What she heard was, you don't care about anything except my A's. And so I met with them separately and was able to bring them back together. But, you know, sometimes we inadvertently, we love our kids, care about them, but we send mixed messages. We send negative messages, sometimes unconsciously.
I know. I catch myself still sometimes, you know, because it's just different than kind of, it's just a different way of being than what we've known. And so as you're learning, obviously I'm never, not even close to perfect or whatever that means.
Well, there is no such thing as perfect mom. So let that go.
I know I do need to let that go. That silly word. But you know, I now catch myself and I'll be in the middle of saying, starting to say something and I'll be like, don't say that, you know, and then some, and she'll look at me like, what are you going to say? I'm like, nothing. Cause it just like, I knew that it was almost like, it's almost like the Bambi thing or the Thumper thing. Like if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
I'm
I can't change what it is because that was in my brain, but I know that that's not right.
So but that puts so much pressure on you, Wendy, that, you know, here's the other thing. Kids are very resilient and forgiving. So, and it's okay to say, you know what? I need to take 5 minutes to gather my thoughts or I need to, I suggest parents take time off. And instead of time out for everybody, let's all take 5 minute time off and calm our brains down so we can think, right? And kids love it when we are willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's not what I meant to say.
I have had my best conversations with my kids after I come in and say, I'm sorry. And they just, they just open up after that, you know, because I'm modeling that we all make mistakes.
Absolutely. And so good for you for your ability and your willingness. Some, for some parents, it's hard. And I think for myself, years ago, different parenting times, it was like you weren't supposed to say you made a mistake to your kids, which really was an admit you were wrong. It was, and I'm thinking, no, I mean, you know, people say, I wish I had you raising my kids. I wish I had your book raising my kids. I said, I wish I had someone like me. I wish I had a book like mine raising my kids, you know? But what I can see now that I'm older and with age comes wisdom is I really see patterns, patterns in families. I heard Marianne Williamson, the spiritual teacher, recently speak, and she said, you know, now that I'm getting older, it's been kind of hard because there's younger people coming up. She said, but what I realize is I do have wisdom and I do see patterns. And I thought, I felt the same way. I thought I really can see the bigger picture and help families.
Well, and it's so nice to be able to have someone come in from the outside and be able to see that, because when you're in it, sometimes it's just, it's so hard to do the work by yourself because you don't see everything.
Well, it's true. And I think it's hard for parents to, it's human nature, I guess, to wait until you're in crisis. And that's what I'm trying to get parents to not do. To reach out either to me or whoever they want to work with before they get to that point. And it's okay. It does take a village, I believe, to raise a child. And there's nothing wrong. None of us came into this role as mom or dad knowing, we weren't really taught.
Which is crazy because we're taught for how many years in school to do a job and then
That's right.
important jobs in the world, there's nothing.
You're right. And kids don't come with instruction manuals, no. And you would need a different one for each one.
Each child is so different, yes.
Yes. But because if you're willing to reach out wherever for help, there's a simpler way. I believe a better way.
Yes.
So that you're not, I read something recently that I think a coach, and I am a parent coach, this wasn't a parent coach, but a coach had like a tagline, and it said, you can learn from your own mistakes, but how would it be to learn from others mm-hmm. earlier? Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true. It's kind of the collective, work that I've done with families. And yeah. So,
although at the same time too, I find that sometimes it's hard to kind of add a future problem that you don't even know exists right now to try to fix it if you don't know that it's a problem.
Right. Well, no, that's true. That is true. However, there are certain things that you can do to be proactive,
yeah.
to be conscious about the way you're parenting that are going to prevent those problems.
Absolutely.
And that's really why I started my parent coaching, why I shifted my practice to parenting 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until you're having all these problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are things that you can do ahead of time. It's kind of like we, take care of our teeth, we take care of our bodies, we take care of our cars, but with emotional behavioral things, we wait until there's a problem.
We really do. I don't think we're ever really taught to know what it is in the first place.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Our being. I mean, I never went through a class to kind of understand what this is all about. It's,
It's like how to parent an 11-year-old daughter, with emotions and, the feelings that she has and why can't I have a cell phone? And mm-hmm. yeah. So anyway, my goal, I'm a woman on a mission, as I say, is really that all children will receive healthy, positive messages that they will then take out into the world. And as I say in my book, messages we send our children, they share them with the world.
They do.
And imagine the ripple effect if we had a lot more adults walking around who love themselves and had been sent those messages.
Yes,
right?
And I actually just read a study where they talked about, because parents have this guilt about not spending a lot of time or taking that time away for self-care. But, when children are actually asked, what did you spend enough time with your parents? What would you really want from your parent more than what you've got?
Right.
And the answer wasn't more time. Their answer was, I want my mom to be less stressed.
You know what, Wendy? That is in my small sample study in my office. When I ask kids, when I do see them, what is one thing you would like to change about your family? Mm-hmm. They say that my parents wouldn't be so stressed. And more often than not, it's their mom. I wish my mom wouldn't be so stressed. That's what they ask for.
Yeah. And one of my goals for this summit is to help people get to that space of fun and play.
Yes.
And being able to do the self-care and do that intuitive work and it helps you get to that level where you can just let go and be free.
Right.
It is fun.
It is. I tell parents, and of course I'm a play therapist also, so I so believe in play. And as adults, I don't think we play enough.
No, we don't.
Go outside with a beach ball and just keep tossing it up in the air and see, as a family. And count how many times. I said, you get silly. Do a silly dance party. It just, yeah.
Oh, it was so funny. Yeah, it's so fun. All of that. Just the other night we were, the kids were kind of in their room. We're trying to get ready for bed, but they were just squirrely.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, all right, I'm going to use movement to try to get them to calm down. So I knew they needed to get their squirreliness out. So I was like, let's have a pillow fight. And then in my head, I'm like, okay, we really don't want to rile them up because we're going right to bed. So we're going to start a pillow fight. But then I said, okay, if everyone freeze, so they froze, like what's going to happen? I'm like, we're going to do a pillow fight in slow motion.
Oh, I love it.
And they looked at me. They're like, oh, that's fun.
That's like, this is crazy.
Going through. and it was just, I love it. Really fun because, just kind of, think about it. And for me, when I play, I use movements in a lot of my play and thinking about, You know, you can take one activity and make it a million just by changing how fast you do it, what direction you do it, you know, right. Maybe you stop, start, go backwards, you know.
Mix it up,
right? You know, and so you don't have to be so creative to come up with like all these different ideas. You just tweak it just a little bit through movement and it becomes a completely new fun thing.
Right. And as you said before, let your kids decide how you're going to do the movement. All right. You know, let's take turns, you know?
And so. Around. Absolutely. So they got the power too. And then they were tired because they had gotten it out, but then we'd also used the slow movement. So it kind of slowed them down a little bit. And bed transition was easy.
What was easy. You know, I heard about a mom once whose child was not going to bed, et cetera. And she finally said, and I thought this is brilliant, this is my time to do my yoga and my meditation. Mm-hmm. I will do it in your room as long as you're quiet. And so she did. And then he would end up falling asleep often.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. I love it.
And I thought, what a great way to end the evening too.
It is.
Right? Instead of fussing at them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Bonnie, we are coming to the end here. So are there any final thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
I was going to say, moms and dads out there, you're doing a great job. I know that there's a lot of pressure to do it right. I promise you, your kids are so resilient and they just want to know that you're there for them. So connect with them, see them for who they are and have fun. Just have a great time.
Awesome. And then I know you have something for our audience as well.
I do. They can download my ebook, which is Why Kids Don't Listen. They've shared their secrets with me. They actually have in the therapy room why they don't listen, and 5 proven tips how to inspire them to listen.
I love it.
And then I'm doing some free giveaways of my book, copies of my book, either audio or the paperback, and a 20-minute complimentary parent discovery call. So
wonderful. Thank you, Bonnie. Oh, this was so fun.
Thank you. I so appreciate it. I'm excited.
I appreciate
the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for being here today. So excited to have you here again on More Than Milestones. And we will see you again tomorrow. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.